we have used for a golden text, our main theme, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. So we'll just begin there again. Here Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. And we've called your attention to the fact that another translation reads, praying always with all manner of prayer. And yet another translation reads, praying with all kinds of prayer. And so we have dealt with these, most of them. We haven't gotten around to all of them. The kinds of prayer mentioned in the New Testament. And, of course, we're all familiar, first of all, with the prayer of faith. And then we talked about the prayer of agreement. Then we talked about praying about the will of God. And then praying the prayer of consecration and dedicating ourselves and submitting ourselves to the will of God. We talked about the prayer of worship and praise. That's all a part of prayer. Because prayer, among other things, is fellowshipping with the Father. And I want to reemphasize, somebody said, I read it many years ago, praise is the highest type of prayer. Because you see, you are fellowshipping with God. We noticed a number of scriptures, not all of them, but a number of scriptures, how that prayer and praise and giving of thanks was linked together. Let's notice, and you could turn with me, please, to the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, because here is an example of united praying. You see, much of what we've said about prayer applies primarily to the individual. And of course, prayer can be just the individual praying, or a group of praying, or a big congregation praying, or a whole company of people praying. But there is power in united prayer. Let's notice in the fourth chapter of the Acts, begin to read with the 23rd verse. Now you remember, in the third chapter of Acts, Peter and John were on the way into the temple through the gate called Beautiful at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon our time. And there sat the man there who was lame from his mother's womb, who never had walked. And you remember how that he was healed. And then that the authorities took Peter and John into question, and they threatened them. And they commanded them to preach and to teach no more in the name of Jesus. Now then the 23rd verse said, and being let go, they went unto their own company. That's a good place to be when you're in trouble. Praise God, among your own company. They know how to help you. They know how to sympathize with you. They know how to get in agreement with you. Praise God. They went unto their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice. The whole company of people lifted up their voice, united praying. You see, a lot of times we have different kinds of praying, but I want you to know that you just get blessed, and that God moves in an unusual way when you have united praying, everybody praying at once. Now that was foreign to me at one time, because I was raised in a formal church, and we didn't have that kind of praying. And we missed a lot by not having it. Are you listening to me? You know, we called on Deacon Brown to lead in prayer. And everybody was just as quiet as a church mouse while he prayed. And nobody said anything. Once in a while, they sort of had a corner where the deacons sat. Once in a while, one of them make a sound. I didn't know what they did, whether they just grunted or groaned or what. And Mama said they said amen. If they did, I couldn't distinguish it. But that's the closest thing of united prayer that we had, you see. Amen. But you know, when I first came around full gospel people, and the reason I came around because they believed in divine healing, and you've heard it many times, but I'd been healed, and it strengthens your faith to be around those who believe like you do, you see. But then they had a lot of practices, ways of doing things that we didn't. And some of it's a little hard to get used to. But you know, we've got so many ways, you're bound to like some of them. Praise God. Amen. And so I just find a reason, well, they knew about healing when my church didn't. Maybe they're right about this. And I went to the Acts of the Apostles and just read through it the way they prayed. Now, I found out that every single time, you read through the Acts of the Apostles, I just pointed out a couple of scriptures. But there's more than that listed there. You'll find out where there was two or more people that prayed, that they all prayed at once. All through the Acts of the Apostles. Not one single time did they call on somebody to lead them in prayer. Now, I didn't say that's not all right to call on somebody to lead in prayer. It certainly is. But I said, you know, if we really want to get back to doing things the way they did, why don't we do it, you know? Amen. And every single time, because I underlined every one of them with a red pencil, every single time that a company of them, that is two or more of them, that it mentioned about prayer, it says they is plural, isn't it? They lifted their voice. So that means all of them did. Paul and Silas, like we pointed out there in the 16th chapter of Acts and 25th verse, when they were down there at Philippi and they had been beaten with many stripes, their backs were bleeding, they were in their most prison, their feet were in stocks, and it says, and at midnight, they, Paul and Silas, prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Well, them is plural, you see. So they heard them. They were both praying out loud. Now think about people praying out loud at midnight. Right in the presence of other people who weren't even saved, I don't suppose, or knew God. Well, I know they weren't saved because Paul had been over here to Philippi and got one widow woman saved. She's the only one who'd been saved up till now. Wasn't long ago till the jailer got saved. Praise God. And they, at midnight... I'll tell you, we need to pray for boldness. And we're going to see that in the minute that they did. We need to pray for boldness, holy boldness. Amen. Praise God. Well, now, they lifted up their voice. When they heard that, when they heard the report that they brought from what the chief priests and elders had said unto them, the company of believers, lifted up their voice. With one accord. And then it goes on to list the essence of what they prayed. Now I wanted you to notice particularly this 29th verse. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. You see, the scripture then tells you, we people wonder, well, what do we pray for? How do we pray? What do we pray for? Well, in times of trouble, bless God, pray. See, they were threatened. They were persecuted. Isn't that right? And they lifted up their voice, and then they concluded by saying, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Now notice that next verse. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Glory to God, that the place where they were sitting, that means the house shook. People get excited sometimes about the power of God coming on people and them shaking or falling under the power. You wait until the building starts shaking. Amen. That's what it said here. It said the place, doesn't it, where they were assembled was shaken. The place where they were assembled together. Doesn't that mean the house, the building? was shaken. Oh, I wish we could have some more prayers and shake a few things. Glory to God. Now notice, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I thought they just all got filled back over there in Acts 2, didn't they? Yeah, thank God you can be filled and filled and filled and filled. You know, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus said, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. See, be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Greek scholars tell us that there's a play on the word here that actually, that means, denotes continuous action. And a good translation would be, he said, but be being filled. But be being filled. That constant experience. Praise God. And so it says, now notice, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Hallelujah. Now notice that 33rd verse as a result of their praying now. And with great power, and with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now let's skip down to Acts 5:12, and see the results, you see, of them praying there. And by the hands of the apostles, where many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities around about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Now I want you to see something here. You see, folks read this without reading the entire section of Scripture. Well, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And then it goes on to tell about what happened with Peter and his ministry. Well, you know, yeah, the apostles, though. You know, they were apostles, you know. And the apostles had that kind of power. When the last apostle died, all that ceased. That didn't happen because and as a result of these men being apostles. It happened in answer to that prayer that the company of people prayed. Can you see that? Grant that thy servant shall speak thy, being able to speak thy word with boldness by stretching forth thine hand to heal the sick, and that signs and wonders will be wrought in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. You see, a misconception on the part of the church has hindered our prayer life and hindered God from doing what he wanted to do. Now, for instance, let's back up a little bit here to that third chapter of Acts and notice, for the simple reason, you see, you know, this is where they got into trouble and were commanded to teach and preach no more in the name of Jesus and so on because of the healing of this lame man. Now I want you to notice something here in this third chapter of Acts. I want you to see something. Very first verse of this third chapter of the Acts. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, our time. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. Now I want you to get this. Was carried, whom they laid, what's the next word? Daily. Not once in a while, daily. They laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms? And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk." Now, how did they do it? Skip down to the 16th verse. "And his name," he went on to tell him about Jesus, you see here. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know." Now listen. "Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him," the faith which is by him, talking about Jesus, "hath given him," the lame man, "this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Now then, in the light of that, you see, if it's like a lot of people thought it was, well, they would have prayed, "Now, Lord, you help Peter to keep on using this power he's got. You help him to use these spiritual gifts that he has." People think, you know, the apostle just carried these spiritual gifts around in their pocket and sort of used them when they wanted to. Did you ever stop to think that Peter and John had been in that temple before many, many times? Did you ever stop to think that not many days before then, Jesus himself went into that temple? He never ministered to the man. You see, if just ordinary faith, now get this, I've got faith in the name of Jesus, don't you? I said, don't you?
Yes.
I said, don't you?
Yes.
Well, you see, if just ordinary, see, we have saving faith in the name of Jesus. You have to be saved, don't you? We have a general faith, a common faith in the name of Jesus. But you see, if we could just take that common faith and heal people with it, well, we'd get everybody healed, wouldn't we? Never would miss it on a one. Now, you see what happened here. See, what you have to realize is very often when the Bible talks about faith, it's talking about the faith of God or the faith which is by Jesus, which goes all the way from saving faith all the way over here to what the Bible calls in 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of faith, or as the Amplified has it, special faith. You see, it's all faith. But you see, he says, "For to one is given by the Spirit." You remember when he talks about these manifestations of the Spirit? He said, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit," and so on. And then it comes down to another special faith. See, that's what happened with Peter and John here. And that's the reason that they need to keep praying, because those things are not manifested because I carry them around in my pocket and turn it on like, you know, I turn on a radio or something. It is as the Spirit wills. Oh, I love that. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I've had the same thing to happen to me that happened here. I had it happen to me right here in Oklahoma, when suddenly that faith was given to me. Oh, I'd like to have the manifestation more often. But I can't produce it myself. You can't produce it yourself. But you see, that's the reason that we need to pray. I remember right here in the state of Oklahoma, in the month of May, in the year of 1952, I was holding a meeting down in the southeast corner of the state in a little town down there called Broken Bow. This is Broken Arrow. Now, a fellow brought a man in an ambulance, Mr. Coffey, who owned several funeral homes there in southeast Oklahoma. He brought a man in an ambulance from Antlers, Oklahoma, over there to the meeting. I didn't know they were coming. And at that time, Mr. Coffey was Nazarene. I laid hands on him. In fact, God told me, call him up here and tell him, come up here. You're going to lay hands on him. Now see, I have to, again, have a manifestation of faith to do that, because I can't do that with ordinary faith. If I didn't do it with everybody. But see, when the Lord tells you, he gives you the faith to do it. And if he didn't give you the faith to do it, then he didn't tell you. You imagined it. Forget it. And so he said to me, call him up here, Mr. Coffey, this Nazarene man, and lay your hands on him, and I'll fill him with the Holy Ghost. And so I told him exactly what the Lord told me. In time I got my hands on him, he's talking in tongues. Glory to God. But he brought this man in an ambulance. The man looked the very picture of death. We got the report from Brother Coffey, you see, and he said, I talked to the doctor, you see, and his doctor said, well, Mr. Coffey, if you think it'll help him, I'll just take him on over. How he's alive, I don't know. He ought to have been dead 10 days ago. It's certainly not going to help him, because he's going to die anyhow. We've done all we could do medically for him. He just looked the picture of death. But you see, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, say to this congregation, did you notice that Peter and John said, look on us. Well, they're not bragging about them. They suddenly had something from God. Oh, hallelujah. And so the word of the Lord came unto me saying, say unto this congregation, I'm going to speak to that man, not lay hands on him and pray. See, we lay hands on people, we pray. But at times like this, you don't. Peter did take him by the hand, lift him up. But he said, say to this congregation, I'm going to speak to that man on that stretcher. And he's going to get up and walk off well right here in front of all of you. If he don't, I'm a false prophet. If he does, which he will, this is a sign. See, they prayed for signs and wonders. God does signs and wonders. This is a sign unto you, that's me, and unto the congregation, that the Spirit of God's upon me for such a ministry. Well, I just make a long story short sometime by saying, I did, and God did, and he did. The man got up and walked off well right there in front of everybody. Now, don't you misunderstand me at all. You see, we've had that to happen. And right on the other hand, there wasn't that night. There's the only person on a stretcher. There were other people there on stretchers. They rolled them in and rolled them out. Well, now, if you heal that man, why didn't you heal these others? I didn't heal that man. Peter said, why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or our own holiness we'd made this man to walk? Yea, he said, the faith in the name of Jesus, yea, the faith which is by him, the faith which is by him, has given him perfect soundness here in the presence of y'all. Can you see that? Oh, I love that. I'll be honest with you, a number of times, not as often as I'd like, but a number of times I've had that anointing of that special faith to come upon me. And blessed be God, amazing have been the results thereof. Why doesn't it happen more? I'm going to tell you why it doesn't happen more. Because the company of believers don't pray more that direction. Now, I pastored nearly 12 years, and we've said this many times to you, in 12 years of pastoral work, we never did bury one church member. Now, we have to qualify that by saying that we pastored small churches. It was easy for one man to see after them. You couldn't do this necessarily with a large church unless you had a large body of elders or ministers all teaching the same thing. Are you following me? But I don't suppose, you know, we had a couple hundred people or more. And I don't suppose, I can't remember really, and I think you know I have a good memory, of over ever two of our people at one time being sick. I think we preached enough faith and power and prayer that they pretty well maintained it. Now, with some of them, you see that not just one church 12 years, it was different churches. I stayed with one of the churches about 4 years, and some of the rest of them, one church owned a pastor out of the will of God 1 year, and stayed because I committed myself to stay, and I'll keep my word, amen, and so on. But now, here's what I started to tell you. In one church, it was the easiest thing in the world to get people healed. It just sort of happened automatically. In the other churches, we did eventually do it, but it was a struggle. It was a struggle. Now, what made the difference? In one church, we almost constantly had these manifestations. Not only people being healed on their own faith as we preach the word of God teaches that, but constant manifestations of God's Spirit. The difference was that these churches, and I never could bring another church to that place. Maybe I could if I'd stayed longer. But I did stay with some of them as long as 3 years and never brought them there. They, like this company of people, were in one agreement when it come to spiritual things. Now, you never agree on everything, but you can be one in spirit. I said you can be one in spirit. And they prayed for these things. And God honored it. And we had the manifestation. And so it just happened sort of automatically. Where otherwise it happened all right, but it was a struggle. And it'd take sometimes a long period of time to bring some of it to pass. And so, now Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By doing what? By stretching forth thine hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name. Now remember, it was back there that Peter said, faith, which is by him. Doesn't it? He said, faith in the name of Jesus. And then he qualifies it by saying, the faith which is by him has given him, the amen, perfect soundness in the presence of ye all. Can you see that now? All right, now then they're praying that thy servants may speak the word of God boldly. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now notice this, by doing three things, yet they're interrelated and yet they can be separate. By stretching forth your hand to heal the sick. The sick can be healed in various ways and methods. And then signs. And then wonders. The signs and wonders may be in connection with physical healing, or they may be in other areas. Manifestation of powers. Glory to God. By all of them, healings, signs and wonders by the name of Jesus. Well, now just common, ordinary faith in the name of Jesus. I suppose all believers everywhere, whether even baptized with the Holy Ghost or not, have a certain amount of faith in the name of Jesus. Don't they? I said, don't they? But that faith in the name of Jesus is not producing such miraculous results. Now, through prayer in that name and persistent prayer, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, we get people helped a lot of times, you see. But here are manifestations of God's holy power that comes as a result of praying, and because they prayed, then we see the results. Now, notice this. By the hands, let's see the results again. By the hands of the apostles, Acts 5:12, were many signs and wonders. That's what they prayed for, didn't they? You see, it's not a matter so much, you see, that the apostles wrought them. It's a matter that the company of people believed and God used the only ministers he had. See, the apostles were the only minister the church had at this time. It took time to develop prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. You could understand that. And then it went on to say, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid him on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Now, you don't read in the Acts of the Apostles of this happening anymore. See, God may work some signs or do some wonders, and never do it that way again. And you don't read in the Acts of the Apostles of that ever happening with anybody, even with Peter again, do you? I said, do you? No, you don't read that. You don't read of that happening. See, you'd have to add to the Bible to say if it happened. Now, you see Peter ministering to the sick later on in the Acts, but he didn't minister that way, because it tells you exactly what happened. He walked into a fellow there that had been in bed for 8 years. And just, he didn't say, well, now wait till the sun gets just right where my shadow will fall on you. He said, Anus, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. The man got up and walked off, didn't he? Huh? See, a lot of times where we make a mistake is the Spirit of God starts moving, we try to set a pattern. Well, now, you see, just faith in the Word of God, laying on of hands, is always right because the Bible teaches that. But it isn't always right with something else. And so there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk with them, which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, everyone. Now, evidently, according to what I get from these two scriptures, they were healed the same way those folks were. That is the shadow of Peter falling on them. Well, now, folks were healed, all right, but then now, that's a sign and a wonder. Nobody touched them. There'll be different manifestations. I've had different manifestations of the Spirit that I did one time and never did again. I told sometime about ministering right here in the state of Oklahoma. And just as I came to the close of my message, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, when he tells you to do something, he'll give you faith to do it. If he didn't give you faith to do it and you don't get it done, he didn't tell you. See, that's the telltale sign on a lot of folks. God told me to do this, and they fall flat on their face. No, if he told you to do it, he'll give you the faith to do it. Amen. And so the word of the Lord came to me saying, just as I finished my sermon, ordinarily I'd give an altar call first for sinners and backsliders to come. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before you give the altar call, minister to everyone that has anything wrong with them from the hips down. Hips, knees, ankles, feet, cripple, anything. Well, I just spoke out what the Lord said. I suppose that he meant to lay my hands upon them. Well, as they were coming, 12 people came. Some of them had to be helped out, carried down there by 3 people. They were so crippled with arthritis they could not walk. Others were on crutches and sticks. While they were coming, the word of the Lord came unto me further, saying, don't pray for them. Don't touch a one of them. Deal with each one of them individually, you see. And you tell them that I told you to tell them, run down that aisle and run back up this aisle and they'll be healed. I've never done that again. I don't mean I might not do it. 30 years' time, I've never done that again. Now, why didn't I? The Spirit of God didn't tell me to. And if I tried to do it on my own, we'll fall flat on our face. But if he tells you to do something, he'll give you the faith to do it. And we saw those crippled people just run right out of people's arms and run right down the aisle healed. I'd like to have more of that kind of manifestation. But I can't produce it. I said, I can't produce it. But I'll tell you what can happen. A company of believers can produce it. This company of people, you see, it wasn't the apostles that produced this, dear friends. That's where we missed it, you see, and let the devil hoodwink us. It was this company of believers that prayed. It was the answer to their prayer that brought this. Can you see that? Grant that thy servant shall speak thy word with boldness by stretching forth your hand to heal the sick, that signs and wonders will be wrought in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are we praying for that? We're not. We should be. That's the reason it's not happened. You have not because you ask not. Now, don't pray that God will use you. Just pray that God will use his servant. Let him use anybody he wants to. I can remember this. In the winter of 1943, I was moved by the Spirit of God to pray along this very line that I'm talking to you about. And I became so engrossed in prayer that a time or two, I'd get up in the nighttime, you see, and go into the living room and kneel down and pray. We didn't have central heat in the parsonage. And, you know, we had stoves. And really, the stove in the living room was the only one that was on. It was warm in there. And so a time or two, though, I came to myself. I must have got up in my sleep and went in there. I was so in the habit of doing it because I woke up kneeling by the couch in the living room. I found myself night after night, praying, Lord, praying this very prayer right here. Grant that, not me. I could care less whether God used me or not, as long as it gets done. You see, if you're praying, God use me, that's selfish. That'll probably never be answered. See, James said, you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask, you see, that you might consume it upon your own lust. In other words, just build up your own ego. God's going to use me, you know, here. I could have cared less whether God used me. I didn't ask him to use me. But I prayed this very prayer night after night that these folks prayed. And then I went over to the 1 Corinthians 12. And I see, we had great manifestation of the vocal gifts, tongues and interpretation mostly, and prophecy. And I prayed, you see, that these other manifestation or gifts of the Spirit, as we call them, this special faith, the working of miracles, the gifts of healings would be more in prominence among us and would come into full manifestation. Now, after praying that way for many days, many weeks, many hours of intercession, praying the same thing over and over again, what I want to get over to you is the prayer of faith won't work here. In other words, you can't just claim this and say, well, I'm going to ask God to do this, amen, that's it, and confess he's doing it and go on and don't pray. You are just spinning your wheels, brother. Amen. Are you listening to me? Sure, the prayer of faith will work for you on your needs or anything that God's word promises you. But this is where intercession comes in. And then the Lord said to me one day, I mentioned it to you, wrote it down, February 19, 1943, dated it. At the close of World War Number Two, there'll come a revival of divine healing to America. And it came. It came. We had what we call the Voice of Healing. There's about 70 of us ministers. The Voice of Healing used that magazine for advertisement purposes. I had other ministers to say to me all over the United States, you know, Brother Hagin, I never did pray for the sick. You know, I believed in it. But I just didn't have that kind of faith particularly, you know, and I preached salvation. You know, there's evangelists, went from church to church. Some of them had singing ministers and good ministers and got people saved, but they just didn't have healing services in their meetings or pray for the sick. But I've had them to say to me, I mean older ministers that have been in the ministry 35 years, 40 years. Say, I never did have a healing ministry. But when that got started, I started praying for the sick. Said it's the easiest thing to do. People just said it surprised me. So it wasn't their faith. It surprised me. People just started getting healed. It's the easiest thing to do. Get people healed. See, there was just a revival of divine healing. There was just a wave, praise God. That came as a result. I found out later then that there were others that had that same burden to pray. And that we just stayed in there. We just stayed in there, bless God, and kept praying. Now that's what's going to bring it about. Just like what brought this about here. We can see what brought it about, can't we? Glory to God. Let's stand up right now and pray. What do you say? Amen. Praise God forevermore. Follow me in this prayer and then go on into praying as you like. Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy word.
Thank you for
guidance.
Thank you for divine
enlightenment. And we follow your word. And we pray just like the early church prayed.
Grant that
thy servants
with all boldness
may speak thy word by stretching forth your hand to heal the sick,
and that
signs and wonders
shall be wrought
in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
We believe that it shall be.
And we shall continue to pray along this line. Thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray. That the manifestation of your spirit,
of special faith,
of working of miracles,
and gifts of healings,
shall be more in prominence
and in manifestation
in our midst.
In the name of Jesus,
may we stir ourselves up
to pray
after this manner.
And by the grace of God,
and with the aid,
and the assist,
and the help
of the Holy Ghost,
we shall,
we will,
hallelujah,
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 oh glory, praise God, thank you, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for those things. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Now listen real carefully. Listen real carefully. In meetings, especially at large meetings of this nature, it's easier in a small meeting. Learn to follow the Spirit of God. Learn to follow the Spirit of God. Learn this, particularly if those who are in leadership and authority know the Spirit of God, He'll move through them. Are you listening? So follow them. Paul said, I would that all men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. That's reading, we lift our hands. That's scriptural. You see, without wrath and doubting. Praise God. All men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. So we lift our hands. We lift our hands and pray. We lift our hands and praise God. Many times we clap, you know, because we're praising God that way. In the Old Testament, you know, He said something about that. Clapping your hands for joy. Glory to God. But now, we need to be sensitive enough to the Spirit of God to know when to and when not to. Because very often I'm conscious of the fact the Spirit of God's trying to manifest Himself through me and people are just clapping and going on, you see, and He never does get to manifest what He wanted to manifest. Sometimes there would have been some healings that would have taken place, some miraculous, some signs and wonders that have been wrought in their midst and the people clapped them away. Does that surprise you? It's absolutely the truth. See, we need to learn to be sensitive to the Spirit and learn when to praise Him and learn just to flow with the Spirit and to be quiet when He says be quiet. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, God wants to get some other things over to us here. You remember there in 1 Timothy 2, 1, where the Spirit of God said through Paul, I exhort therefore that first of all prayers, supplications, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. We should do that first. And so we are instructed. See, what do we pray for? Well, we're instructed to pray for all that are in authority. For kings, you see, He's talking about different nations. Not just our own nation, sure we know to pray. But other nations, for all that are in authority. Praise God, Christians everywhere should do that. Isn't that true? And then we see the church praying here that the servants of God would be able to speak the word with boldness by stretching forth your hand to heal the sick. The signs and wonders should be wrought in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. We should do that. Now I want you to notice something else. Notice that this was a time of threatening. Notice that this is a time of emergency. Oh, praise God. We always know to pray at times like that. Let's go just a little further here into the Acts of the Apostles and see something again. Well, you see, they spoke the word of God boldly and without going into great detail. You see, of course, here in the 12th chapter of Acts that Peter got in jail. Well, that's what they threatened him about back there in the 3rd chapter, you see. And so the word of God tells us in the 12th chapter of Acts and the 5th verse, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. For him. Prayer was made without ceasing. And the margin reads that earnest prayer was made. Earnest prayer, praise God, was made. Effectual prayer. Don't that remind you of what James said? Over in James, the 5th chapter, about the 17th verse, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So then that tells us that when people get in trouble, whether they're ministers or whether they're laymen, we don't know about others. We have to depend on the Spirit of God to tell us. They knew about this. The church was just local here in Jerusalem. We know to pray. Pray for them. Notice that without ceasing they prayed. Without ceasing they prayed. Earnest and effectual prayer, the margin said, was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him, for Peter. Well, he was brought out. We know that. Now, I want you to notice something else. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, our golden text, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and that's in thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for how many saints? Them you know, your bosom friends and buddies, all saints. Well, I could pray for all I know, but you see, the only way I could pray for all saints would have to be in the Spirit, because only the Spirit knows all saints. That's the reason he said, pray in the Spirit. Now then notice this. Then Paul says, and for me. See, pray for all saints. Now then notice the next verse. And for me. That is, pray for me. Now for what? That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. There's that word boldly again. Pray for me. He's asking the church at Ephesus. Pray for me, isn't he? That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's the way to pray for ministers. I said, that's the way to pray for ministers. Glory to God, isn't it? Notice something here while we're on this. Why don't we back up here to Romans? You see, these are letters that Paul wrote to the church. I want you to notice that he makes mention of the fact that he prays for them. And I want you to notice, as we go along also, I want you to notice that he asked them to pray for him. Now, for instance, Romans 1:9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. He's saying to the Romans, the saints at Rome, you're always in my prayers. Doesn't he? I said, doesn't he? Now notice this. He tells us a little bit about something. He doesn't just say, I prayed. He said, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That is, see, this is still his request, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Hallelujah. Now I want you to notice something now. Look at the end of the book of Romans, the 15th chapter. There he tells them he's praying for them and tells them what his request is. I'm sure he prayed otherwise, but that's part of it. Now notice the 15th chapter. The 15th chapter of Romans and the 30th verse. Now I beseech ye, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit. You know, that's a little peculiar language, isn't it? And for the love of the Spirit, or love of the Holy Ghost, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Now listen. That word strive denotes strenuous effort, doesn't it? I said, doesn't it? This isn't a matter of just writing off some little prayer. That you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Now let's go on reading. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. And that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Notice how he begins this letter by telling them he's praying for them, tells them part of what he prays for them, and ends it by soliciting their prayers. Now let's go on reading how that every one of these churches that he wrote to, you see, after all, these are churches, all of them except Rome, evidently, that he established primarily, most of them. The saints of Rome, he hadn't been there. He wanted to pray that he'd be there, or he'd be able to come. Now, know this. Let's look into Philippians, for instance, the first chapter. the third and fourth verses. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now remember, he's writing to the church at Philippi. Remember, go back to the 16th chapter of Acts. We studied it here. Now listen. On every remembrance, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Remember there, a man stood up the night time, said, come over to Macedonia and help us. They say that God was leading them into Macedonia, so they went over there and resorted thither to the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. There's one Lydia, seller of purple, whose heart the Lord opened. Then remember that Paul and Silas daily went to the synagogue there and discussed, you know, and so on. There's a little maiden followed them along behind them that had a spirit of fortune-telling, divination of fortune-telling. She cried out, these men are servants of the Most High God who come hither to show us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. Here's something you need to see again. She did many days. How many? Many days. And one day Paul, you see, turned, you see, grieved in spirit and spoke to that spirit, commanded him to come out. Why didn't he do it before? I said, why didn't he do it before? See, you have to realize that very often in casting out demons under certain circumstances, again, the gift of faith comes into manifestation. And he didn't have the manifestation before. Sometimes it's a combination of discerning of spirits and gift of faith, or a combination of the word of knowledge. And so that's the reason he did. He didn't have that unction. He didn't have that anointing. He didn't have that revelation. That's the reason we have to continue to pray. Now then you remember they got in jail. At midnight they prayed and sang praises to God. The prisoners heard them. There was a great earthquake. Every door flew open. The feet fell off the stone. All the bonds fell off the prisoners. The jailer thought they'd escape. Paul said, do yourself no harm. We are all here. The jailer called for a light and sprang in and said, sirs, what must we do to be saved? I do to be saved. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved in thy house. He took Paul and Silas into his house. Evidently locked up the rest of the prisoners. And took Paul and Silas into his house. Washed their back. Amen. Because there's a bleeding from those stripes. Fed them. Praise God. And got saved. His house. And before Paul left there, established a church. Because he's writing a letter back there. I like to think that jailer became the pastor. I don't know that did. He might have. He's the first man saved there, wasn't he? Now notice. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine. Paul, it seemed, prayed for every one of these churches every day. Always in every prayer of mine for you all. You know, he must have been from Texas. He said, y'all. Praying for y'all. For you all. Making request with joy. See, prayer ought to be with joy. Making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And so on and so on. Now notice this ninth verse. And this I pray. See, he goes on talking about what he's praying. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve. See, I'm praying that you may approve things that are excellent. I'm praying that you may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. That's what he's praying. Which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Hallelujah. Now then, let's go just a step further and notice how that he prayed for them. Let's look at Colossians. We're right here at Philippians. Just turn right to the next letter, next book, Colossians. Now let's notice. For this cause, the ninth verse. Right into the church at Colossae now. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Can you see what a large place prayer had in Paul's life and ministry? Is he just using idle words? No, he's speaking truth, isn't he? Do not cease to pray for you. And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of God knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's what he's praying for him about. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increase in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. That's what he's praying for him. Strengthened with all might. According to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks. He's praying for them that they may give thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and so on. That's how he prayed for them. This will give us an insight of how to pray for churches and believers and Christians, and what to pray for them. Are you following me? All right, let's go right on over here beyond Colossians. Just keep turning and we get to Thessalonians. Notice first of all, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. See, how did he pray for the church at Thessalonica? All right, notice the second verse. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now notice, turn to the end of the chapter, or the end of the book, the fifth chapter, the first Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, and notice this, fifth chapter, 25th verse. Brethren, pray for us. I want you to notice again and again, he tells them how he's praying for them, what he's praying for them. He also solicits them to pray for him. Now then notice into 2 Thessalonians now. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Notice this 11th verse. First chapter of 2 Thessalonians, 11th verse. Wherefore also we pray once in a while. Huh? Always for you. Before he used the word without ceasing. Here he said always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. That's what he's praying. And ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. You'll notice that the next book, or letter that's listed here at least, this is not the order in which he wrote them necessarily, but it's 1 Timothy. You see, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy. Or 2 Timothy. Come on over to 2 Timothy. Here's where I want to get it. There in 1 Timothy, we looked at that in 2nd chapter. I exhort therefore, first of all, to prayer, supplications, and so on. 2nd chapter of 1 Timothy. So let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, every once in a while. Wonder how Paul prayed. Well, I'm sure he prayed with his understanding. 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church, 19th verse, I'd rather speak five words of my own understanding, that above my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in unknown tongues. Then he was speaking in tongues more than they all in his private prayer life, wasn't he? Then evidently that's the way that he prayed for them sometimes, or much of the time. Now here's something I want you to see. I want you to see. And this is not all. We're going to look at some more. But you can see it building up. You can see why he, Paul, was such a mighty man in God. See how much he prayed? If he prayed night and day, brother, he's praying, wasn't he? You remember back there in the early days of the church? They had all things common, you know. There in the sixth chapter of Acts, we were there in the fifth chapter a while ago, you know. And some of the, you know, rose are murmuring among some of them. They felt like they're being neglected, the daily ministrations. And the apostles, that was the only minister the church had to begin with. They said, look you out seven men of honest report, number one, two full of the Holy Ghost, three wisdom, whom we'll appoint over this business. Now notice, that we may give ourselves once in a while to prayer. No, continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I'll tell you exactly why we're not any more powerful than we are in ministry. We don't do it the way the Bible said do it. I was struck with something here a while back as we were studying through the fall of all of the individual persons, you know, people that were healed under the ministry of Jesus, like, for instance, the woman with the issue of blood who touched his clothes and was healed, you see, the nobleman's son, you know, and so on. We'd examine all of those. And then at the same time, we referred a time or two, now not to all of them, there's some more there, but about a multitude being healed. And I was struck with something here of how much Jesus prayed. And he was the Son of God. And I noticed something. Practically every time after he had one of those mass healing meetings and he talked about a multitude of being healed, the Word of God will teach us that he went off by himself and prayed sometimes all night long. Now, why did he do that? You see, ministering to people, spiritual things are just as real as material. Did you hear me? I said spiritual things just as real as material. If in the natural realm, you see, if we was ministering dollar bills, $5 bills, $10 bills, $100 bills, after a while when you give out, you couldn't minister anymore. You'd have to go make some more money or get it from somewhere, wouldn't you? You see, after a while, spiritually thing, you do the same thing. The Bible doesn't tell what he prayed. The only thing the Bible would touch that part about praying about the will of God, you know, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, you see. It tells us there what he prayed. Many other times through those four Gospels, you look them up, it talks about him praying. It never tells what he said, but he prayed. But I noticed particularly that numerous times, many of them, was after these multitudes that talk about that were healed. That then he got off by himself and sometimes prayed all night long. No doubt, but to re-fire, so to speak. Replenish the spiritual power that had flowed out of him. You see, my brother, sister, prayer is God's way of getting the job done. Yes, it's preaching the gospel, but preaching the gospel without prayer is like a last year's bird nest, empty. Got nothing in it. And that's the reason there's so much emptiness. And that's the reason Kusda Gizda Vapa Parita Galizio Kora Della Gajinda Makatifa Leshoruga Baba Tensha Makata. And hear what the Spirit of God is saying in this day, and respond unto the Spirit of God, and learn to respond unto the Spirit of prayer. And it's not just the ministers and the leaders praying, but it's the whole body and the whole group praying. And then the power of God shall come into manifestation, and the desires of your hearts will be granted, and great will be the signs and the wonders and the healings, and many shall be added unto the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. That's a peculiar statement, isn't it? Full of joy because of somebody's tears. These are a different kind of tears. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. I believe this is the thing that he was praying about. I said, I believe those are the things that he was praying about for Peter. That he'd stir up the gift of God that was in him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Turn back with me now to the book of Ephesians, and I kept that purposely to last. I think I'll look briefly, lest you think he didn't say anything to the Galatians, but you'll see that in every one of these churches. In Galatians, just turn there and then we'll go to Ephesians. Galatians 4 first. Now this letter that was written to the Galatians is written to the churches in Galatia and was to be read throughout all the churches. The others, you see, was to Corinthians, you know, just to that church, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and the other is an individual church. But here in Galatians, it was to be read throughout all the churches throughout Galatia. Now, I want you to notice something that he said here. In Galatians 4, 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Inferring that he had travailed in birth for them. How did he do it? Through prayer. Until Christ be formed in you. I'll leave that. Now come with me to the first chapter of Ephesians. Let me point out further how to pray for Christians. Let me point out further how to pray for yourself. See, a lot of time we pray, God bless so-and-so. But all that does is save your conscience that you prayed. All right, look, Paul goes into greater detail right into the church at Ephesus, yet I believe he prayed the same kind of prayer for the rest of these people, these other churches. Now notice this, 15th verse. Wherefore I also, that's the first chapter of Ephesians, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I want you to notice again how giving of thanks and prayer is joined together. You notice that again and again how it was? All right. Now what did he pray? Here's his prayer, our prayers for the church at Ephesus. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. Follow the reading, the word now. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now then notice the third chapter. Notice what he said, third chapter of Ephesians, beginning with the 14th verse. For this cause I bow my knees, well, he's talking about prayer, isn't he? Unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now get this 16th verse. Here's what he bowed his knees to pray. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's what folks need, isn't it? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Brother, that'll answer your needs, won't it? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
You won't know how to pray for your fellow believer? Well, don't just say, God bless so-and-so. Open your Bibles up and say, Lord, I'm praying this, and call their name. I'll tell you, not only that, pray it for yourself. I remember I'd been in the ministry 15 years. I had a mediocre ministry. I got people saved, healed, baptized the Holy Ghost. Some of the gifts of the Spirit operating occasionally. But in the last church I pastored, I must have prayed these two prayers for myself several thousand times. Here's some prayers you can pray over and over again for yourself. Are you listening to me? And I'd keep my Bible open in my church on the altar at Ephesians 1. And every time I'd go into the church, I'd kneel there and say, I bow my knees unto the Father. And I'd pray these two prayers where he said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding, I'd say, Father, I'm praying these prayers for myself. See, these are given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. They never die, never grow old. You see, never pass away. And I'd put myself in there. I pray that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened, that I may know, so on and so forth. See? And I just kept doing that. And I'd been preaching, like I said, nearly 15 years. And I'll be honest with you. One day as I was praying, the Spirit of God said to me, as I was praying these very prayers, I'm going to take you on to revelation. Did you know she said the Spirit of revelation may be given unto you? I'm going to take you on to revelations and visions. And revelations in line, while I was yet pastor, revelation in line with the Word of God began to come to me. Until in just praying these two prayers, in the matter of 6 months, I learned more about God and the Bible through revelation than I'd learned in 15 years of study and experience. Until I said to my wife one day, you know, I got so much revelation, got out so far out in 6 months beyond where it had ever been before spiritually. I said to my wife, what in the world have I been preaching? I said to my wife, I was so stupid and ignorant, it's a wonder to me the deacons didn't have to come by and tell me to get in out of the rain. It came by praying. Then let me show you something else here. Listen, in dealing with other folks sometimes, you try to get them to see truth. Like getting people healed, for instance. And I've just got off by myself and took this prayer and paraphrased it a little different and prayed for them. Lord, open the eyes of their understanding that they may see. Bring the revelation of healing to them. And I've had the same people to contact me in a matter of a few days. And I prayed that 10 days for them. Every day, twice a day, I'd pray it. Every day, twice a day. See, Paul said he never ceased to make mention. He's talking about he prayed for Timothy day and night. And twice a day, I'd open my Bible. I was in meetings, teach in the daytime usually, preach at night. But twice a day, every morning, every night, I'd open my Bible and pray for this particular person. And say, Lord, I'm praying that for them. And they said to me, within 10 days after I prayed that away, 10 days, said, I just want you to know, I'm seeing things I never saw before. I just smiled and said, glory, glory, hallelujah. They began to see what the Bible was saying. Before they were antagonistic. Good people, saved people, but didn't understand. Antagonistic toward healing. Antagonistic toward the power of God, the Holy Ghost. But God began to open their eyes. See, we try to convince people with argument. We try to convince people with debate a lot of times. That never does. I used to do that. When I was a young fellow, I'd debate scripture with folks. And I said, if I could say it, they always whipped them. Because at one time I could quote 3/4 of the New Testament. And I'd just keep pouring the scripture on them until they'd give up and quit. Remember one time one Church of Christ preacher, I was just a boy. In fact, I wasn't but 20 years old. He is 60 some odd years old, graduated of the seminary. And finally, he'd quote one scripture, and I'd quote two. We slugged it out with the scripture right in front of the crowd for 45 minutes or longer. Finally, he couldn't quote anymore. Finally, he grabbed me and hugged me and said to the congregation, this is the first man I've ever seen outside the Church of Christ that's saved. That's what he said. Amen. But I didn't convince him. He thought I was saved all right, but I never changed him. And you can't change people with debate. But oh, thank God for the revelation. Amen. This will tell you how to pray for them. Pray for yourself, bless God. In conclusion, turn right on over. I must do this. Turn right on over to the book of James. Just turn on over in your New Testament, you get to Hebrews and keep going right on through Hebrews, and there's James. Amen. All right, now, because this is talking about prayer, and I want us to conclude this way tonight. Now listen, here we are, James chapter 5. All of us know the 14th verse is, any sick among them, call for the elders of the church, let them pray of him, knowing the name of the Lord, prayer of faith, save sick, Lord, raise him up. He committed sin, shall be forgiven. We all know that, you know. Look at that 13th verse. Is any, who's he talking about here? Any among you, among whom? The church. Is any among you afflicted? Now just hold that for a minute. What's the next statement? Let him do what?
Pray.
Huh?
Pray.
Who pray?
Him.
Them?
Him.
No, him. Him pray. All right. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, I wanted you to see here that he's talking about three different things. See, a lot of times we use the word afflicted in connection with sick and said he's afflicted with this disease or so on. And in a general sense, that can be so. But he's talking about three different things. Let's take them in reverse. First, he's talking about sick. Or last, he's talking about sick. Is any sick among you, the church? Tells you what to do, doesn't it? All right. Is any merry among you? Is that right? Let him sing psalms. Not if you are merry, let somebody else sing psalms. No, you do it. All right. Is any afflicted among you? I want to show you where we miss it. Let him pray. You know what the word afflicted means? Greek word translated afflicted. It means any of you going through a test, a trial, do your own praying.
Well, I thought we were supposed to pray for one another.
Well, yeah, we are supposed to pray for one another, but I don't care how much one another prays. If you don't do any praying, you ain't going to make it. You can read that like this. If you don't believe it, just study it a little bit more. Look at different translations and look at the Greek word. Is any going through a test? Is any going through a trial? See, that's not sickness. Of course, sickness can be a test and a trial, but it tells you what to do with that test and trial. Is any of you going through a test? Any of you tested? Any of you tried? You afflicted? Get the church to pray. Maybe they'll get the job. See, that's what we try to do. Somebody else do it. No. Did you notice he said, let him pray? I'm going to be honest with you, friends. There's some areas here that unless you pray, you'll never get there. There's some things you're going to have to do for yourself. Talking about prayer, isn't it? Any afflicted? Let him pray. James is writing. Any afflicted? See if you can get a hold of Peter. Oh, Peter's being mightily used to God. He's shouted falling on people and getting healed. Blessed. Right, Paul. He's sending out anxious. The devils are leaving him. Now do your own praying. That's your trouble. That's the reason we got so many babies. Want somebody else to do it for me. How you like that kind of preaching? Amen. Any afflicted, let him pray. Any merry, let him sing psalms. Any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him and on the throne in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick or heal him or raise him up. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, it shall be forgiven. Now look at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. See, he not only tells you about the elders, but he said pray one for another. For what purpose? For what purpose? That you may be healed. See, God wants you well. Say it out loud. God wants me well.
God wants me well.
Pray one for another that you may be healed.
Pray one for another that you may be
healed. Say it again.
Pray one for another that you may be healed.
Now notice the rest of the scripture. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Glory to God, 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 hallelujah, amen.
That concludes this message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org. Or write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station D, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.